The other day, you know, I was sitting there and I was just like really wrestling over what I'm supposed to preach, like what series we're supposed to start tonight. And as I was just sitting there, you know, I was just doing what I was just doing now. I was just sitting there in the presence of the Lord. And I was just saying, God, it's good to be with you. Jesus, it's good to be near you. God, I love your presence. I love when you speak to me. God, I love to be with you. And I just felt the Lord whisper in my heart just so, like, certainly a verse that's found in Psalms 34, verse 8, and it says this. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody say, taste and see. Come on, somebody say, taste and see. Come on, somebody say, taste and see. Y'all want to talk? Come on, somebody say, taste and see. There you go. That the Lord is good. Y'all don't have to repeat that part. And so tonight, I believe that God is inviting us not into a season, but he's inviting us into a revelation of his goodness. He's inviting us to live in a place, man, where I know that God is good. Like that when I wake up in the morning, like, man's like, yo, Jesus, you're so good. That when I go to bed at night, Jesus, you're so good. Man, that in the middle of math class, I'm like, Jesus, I can sense your goodness near me. Like, walk in this revelation. Man, listen, and I believe if you begin to get this, I'm not going to say if you get it tonight, because I think it's impossible to completely get it. But man, if you get this tonight, it will drastically change your walk with Jesus. If you get the goodness of God and what it is, it will drastically change it. You know, and so tonight I actually want to start out with a question before we deep dive into what this is. But I want to ask a question to you guys. Why is God good? Why do we consider God is good? You know, if you've been a part of a church or in a church for any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, like, God is good, and everyone says, all the time. Then you say, all the time, right? God is good. Come on, God is good. There you go. And all the time, right? Like, if you've been in a church any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard that before. But tonight, I want to ask you why. Why do we say that? Why do we say that God is good? And if I'm honest with you, tonight I think it's, for most people, they think that God is good because he makes good things happen to them. Right? Like, God is good, you know, because he's my healer, you know, and he's my provider, and he's my protector, you know, like, man, and he... you know, he provides for me, and he comforts me, and he restores. You know, it's like, yo, when I get that unexpected money, you know, in my Cash App that someone sends me, or a check that shows up in the mail, I hope you guys experience that one day. You probably don't get unexpected checks in the mail, like, unless you forgot it was your birthday, you know, and your grandma sent you some money or something like that. You you get it, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, God, you're so good, you know? Like, or maybe God heals your body. And like the other day, Reggie was here on a Sunday morning, and he came in with a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder, sling and all, man. Like, couldn't move it past here without extreme pain. You know, he said, yo, my pain level is a 10 out of 10. Like, that morning in worship, we prayed for people who were sick, and at that moment, his pain went from a 10 to a 0. You know, and he took off his sling and he started moving his arm around. And he was like, bro, there's no more pain. It's gone. All right, and stuff like that happens. And we go, man, God, you're so good. You know, or like, how many guys have ever been in the moment where, like, you thought you failed that test? Come on, like, can we be real for a second? Like, you thought you failed that test and you were like, God, please, Lord. I don't want to repeat the ninth grade. I don't want to repeat the 10th grade. God, like, let me pass this class. And then out of nowhere, like, your teacher gives you grades that weren't even there before. You know, or I don't know, something crazy happens. Or maybe you pass the test, right? And you end up passing it. And you're like, God, thank you. You're so good, right? Like, am I the only one that's been there? I'm the one that said, yo, I forget. I'll never forget. One time in high school, it was first period. And I found out in my third period class that we had a history test, right? And like, your boy did not study at all because I had no clue. I made 100 on that test, yo. No, bro, it was intense. It's intense, right? Now, come on, how many of you guys have ever been in trouble before? Right? Come on, how many of you guys say that? You know, like the famous prayer, God, if you get me out of this, you know? Like, God, like, yo, I don't want my phone taken, you know? Or like, whatever. Like, God, if you, like, God, make a way where there's no way, Lord, you know? Like, show me mercy. And then, like, when you think your mom is going to walk in and lay the smack down, she's like, this is a warning, right? You're like, oh, God, thank you so much. You're so good. Right? Listen. And it's this prevailing mindset that God is good because of what he can do for me. Right? Is that he can make my life better and more enjoyable and make good fortune come my way. And that's why I say God is good. And is all of that true? Like, is God your provider? Is God your comforter? Does God bless you? Does God send good fortune your way? Yes, he does. He does, and it's amazing. I mean, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Like, yes, that is absolutely from him. Man, but tonight, like, I really feel impressed to let you know, like, if your definition of God's goodness is based on good things that come your way, then it's a really shallow and incomplete picture. Because what happens when good things stop coming your way? Like, what happens, man, when, like, you know, like, life starts to suck, you know? And, like, you don't pass that test, and you did fail that class. You know, and your parents' marriage that you were hoping was going to work out, man, so you're praying for it or whatever, and, like, they end up getting a divorce. Like, what happens then? Does God stop being good all of a sudden? Like, is God evil now? Like, is, like, did God have an evil moment? Is there, like, you know, is there, like, a dark side of God that like, where he enjoys my pain and my suffering? And the obvious answer to that is no. But my point to you tonight is that the goodness of God is way bigger than whether my life is going good or it's going bad. If my life is going good, guess what? God is good. And if my life is going bad, guess what? God is good. Man, if I'm in the middle of heaven on earth, man, God is good. If I'm in the middle of hell on earth, man, God is good. You know, and what's so powerful about this to me is that the word good here in Psalms 30, 34 verse 8, I think it is, or 38 verse 4, it means this, 34 verse 8. The word good, it means pleasant. It means enjoyable. It means satisfying. And it means delightful. Say that again. Like, catch this, please. Catch this. It means pleasant. It means enjoyable. It means satisfying. And it means delightful. How many of you guys have ever had that moment before where, like, you've had, like, the greatest meal of your life, right? And it's just, like, absolutely changed the game of food for you. Come on, it's like, anybody had that moment? Like, where it's like, man, like, you had something, and you're like, I didn't know that food could be this good. You know, like, I mean, like, it absolutely blew your taste buds. I mean, like, it blew your mind. You're like, oh, my gosh, like, I have this very vivid memory of, like, being 12 years old, and like, we ate, like pretty, like, basic, bland food. Like, we didn't necessarily, not bland food, but we didn't necessarily venture out ethnically, right? Like, what was in the world, you know? It was hamburgers and hot dogs and whatever, like, casual dishes, all that stuff, you know? And so I remember the first moment that I ever had, this kind of sounds so dumb, but that I ever had a chicken teriyaki bowl, all right? from back in the day, you know, like before Miyabi Juniors was a thing, it was about Mikioto Express, y'all. Like, y'all don't even know. And, like, I remember being 12 years old, right? And like, did, like, y'all's mom ever, like, leave you in the car as she went and did stuff? You know, like, my mom used to do that all the time, you know? I look back now and I'm like, yo, there were some sketch moments in there, you know? Like, we were in that car for, like, 2 hours, you know? But anyways, and so she comes in the car with this chicken bowl, right? Like, was he like, your boy, like, I don't know what a chicken bowl is, you know? Like, and she didn't even get one for us. She just got one for her. Like, you know, like, it wasn't even about us. She just had one for her. And was like, what's that? She's like, it's not yours, you know? I was like, Mom, like, give me a bite. Like, yo, what is that? And I remember she gave me a bite. And it's like my eyes, like, lit up. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what is this flavor right now? This is like... Like I had never had teriyaki sauce before the age of 12, okay? Like it blew my mind. And like, I was like, yo, you know, like, and like, you have that blowing your mind moment, and you, like, what do you say? You're like, wow, this is good, right? Man, this is good. And like, that's the best picture that I have for you of what Psalms 34 verse 8 says when it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like when you taste of him and you see him, like you have this moment where you're like, wow. Like, man, this is like, he's so good. Like, man, this is so enjoyable. Man, he's so satisfying. The Hebrew word here for good is the word tob. Somebody say tob. I'm probably teaching you how to say it wrong, but that's how we're going to say it tonight. Bless God. And it's the word tob. And to really get the meaning of this word, you have to see how it's used in different places in the Bible, you know? And so, like, a lot of times this word is used of food, and it talks about fruit that is sweet and delicious. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me get this across. Sweet and delicious. So it's like when the Bible says that in the garden, when Adam saw the fruit on the tree, that it looked beautiful and delicious, or it looked beautiful and tob. It looked beautiful and good. So the Bible talks about this word tob, or this word good, as having this nuance or this side of it, man, where it means something that is delicious, man, or something that is sweet, man, or something that is satisfying. You know, in other places, when it refers to people, you know, like it talks about people who are good looking, you know what I mean? Like, come on, like, y'all know, like, somebody walks by and they cute, like, your head starts to turn, and inside you're like, dang, that's just me, I guess. That's what happens when I saw you, babe. It's actually not true. but it describes people who are beautiful. You know, it talks in the book of Esther, when it talks about how Esther's beauty far surpassed every other woman's beauty in the kingdom. It far surpassed it. Like the Bible says that there was no one in the kingdom that was as beautiful or as tob or as good looking, right? As pleasant to the eyes as Esther was. And it says that she was pleasing to the king. Or that she was tob to the king, that she was good for the king. That meant he saw her. And I don't want to get too deep into it. But it was like, dang. You know, it talks about, you know, this word is used in places where, like, people or things or animals, like, is that like they're considered the best of their kind? You know, in Song of Solomon's, this word is used when he's talking about, I think she's actually talking about him, and she says that your kisses are as exciting as the best wine. Your kisses are as exciting as the best wine. The word best there, it's this word tob. like in other places, it talks about, you know, when kings come in and they conquer lands and they're like, yo, give me the finest or give me the best animals, oxen and sheep, you know, like give me the best wives, you know, like your best kids or whatever. I'm going to take them all. It's the word tob that's used. So like when you look at this word tob, like it's talking about something that is enjoyable and pleasant and satisfying, like the sweetness of fruit, I mean, that has a standout beauty that nothing else around is comparable to. It's as exciting as the best wine, and it's as pleasant as shade on a hot day. So when the Bible says that God is good, it's describing more than the fact that he does good stuff, but it's describing who he is. Please understand me this morning. It's describing who he is. It's not just the fact that like God is like, he wants to give you good stuff. You know, like I think that religion has taught us to almost view God like a grandparent, you know, where it's like God's kind of like old and I hate to use this word, but like boring, you know, in some ways, but he's going to give me good stuff. You know, I'm like, how many of you guys' grandparents hook you up with stuff, right? You're like, my grandma, she used to send like boxes of gifts on Christmas time, you know? Like it was amazing. I was like, yo, grandma's gifts are here. Even though we didn't like her, we liked her gifts. But that's a different story. Y'all are like, you were messed up. But it's this thing where it's like, yo, God, like, I think that you're kind of dull and you're kind of boring, you know, but like, I like it when you give me stuff. And it's this thing where like, we're missing the whole point is that the thing that is actually pleasant, man, like the thing that's actually enjoyable, I mean, the thing that's actually the best and attractive and like the most entertaining, like it's not what he can give, but it's actually him. Like, and God is inviting us into this place where it's like, yo, I want you to encounter me. I want you to see me. Is that I am inviting you into the revelation of who I actually am. And when you taste it and when you see it, you're going to be like that moment where you have that food and it's amazing. You're going to be like, wow, I didn't know that it could be this good. Like, man, I didn't know that I could experience love like this. Man, I didn't know that I could feel whole like this. Man, I didn't know that you were so beautiful. I said, you're good. You are good. When we say that God is good, it's not just because he makes good things come our way or he blesses us, but rather because of who he is. And it's when we experience him for who he is, our response is that, wow, this is what good looks like. This is what good sounds like. This is what good smells like. This is what good feels like. The foundation of defining, taste and see that the Lord is good, listen to this please, is that he is the most attractive. He is the most satisfying, and he is the most enjoyable thing in this universe that you could ever experience. Can I say that again? Listen to me. He is the most attractive. He is the most satisfying. He is the most, oh man, mind-blowing thing, mind-blowing person that you could ever meet, that you could ever talk to, I mean, that you could ever be near. Like, and here's this thing, I think for some of us in the room, maybe not for all of us, but for some of us in this room, it's like we don't see that and we don't know that because, like, we haven't tasted yet. Meaning it's like, I don't see it because I haven't tasted yet. Like, listen, I can talk to you all day long about how amazing that chicken bowl was, right? Or how amazing a chicken bowl is. But if you've never had it before, you're like, bro, it's just chicken. Chicken and some sauce. Like, you don't know, you know, like, that was a good chicken bowl. I can still taste it 20 years later. And it's this thing where it's like, I don't know that he's pleasant. I don't know that he's enjoyable, man. I don't know that he's the greatest thing that I could ever experience. Like, I don't know that he's worth giving my life for. I don't know that he's worth giving my time for. Man, I don't know that he's worth waking up early, like losing an extra hour of sleep just so that I can be with him in the morning, just so that I can hear his voice, man. But like, I don't know that like his word is life-changing. I can open it up like, and it will actually shift and change my life if I haven't tasted it yet. You know, what's amazing is that they did this study. How effective is reading your Bible? And they did this study, you know, people who read their Bibles once a week. It was like, you know, like it's not effective. They see no change in their lives. Twice to three times a week, maybe they see like a 10% change, you know, like maybe they feel like a little bit better. But then they're like there's this drastic shift when people read their Bibles four times a week. Like these numbers of how people felt. It was like, man, like my depression like went down 80%. Is that, man, I started feeling fulfilled when X, Y, and Z started happening. Why? Because they're tasting and they're seeing. Man, that he's good. That he's good. And tonight, I would dare to say that you don't know what good is. Hear me tonight. That you don't know what good is until you've experienced him. You know, can we throw up Mark 10 up there? Mark 10:17. It's a story where this guy, he walks up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher." And he asks him a question. And Jesus stops at him and says, "Why do you call me good?" He says, Jesus asked, "Only God is truly good." Man, I can line up here. People with life experience. I'm going to say leaders, but can I say to the people that have lived life, made a lot of dumb choices and a lot of dumb mistakes. And a lot of people who thought life was good, who thought they were enjoying life, who thought life was satisfying, and then they met him. I mean, like, then they met him. Not like they went to church. Not like they raised their hand and said a prayer. No, they met him. And they were like, "I didn't know life could be this good. Like, I found the reason why I'm alive. I found the reason why there's breath in my lungs. Oh, man. It's him. Have you seen him? He's so beautiful. He's so captivating. He's so fascinating. Have you seen him?" And it's not, "Oh yeah, man, I go to church a lot. Man, I can go to church 7 days out of the week and never meet him and never meet Jesus. Man, I can be stuck in religion 7 days a week and never meet him and never know Jesus. Man, my parents can drag me to church every single time the doors are open and I can never actually taste and see that he's good, that he's pleasant, that he's enjoyable. And that he's satisfying, that he is the most attractive, the most beautiful, the most satisfying thing on this planet." So as we close tonight, I want to read you guys an excerpt from this autobiography from this guy named Charles Finney. Like, I'm convinced, like, I love the words taste and see here. Because what that means, like, if I can, I mean, it means a couple different things, but just simply put, it means to know by experience. To know by experience. Like, you were meant to experience him. And that response is, wow. Wow. There's this guy named Charles Finney who was this insane revivalist. Like there's this story about how like I think he walks into like this mill shop, right? And by this time he has this really well-known reputation as like a man of God, that when he shows up, that like revival breaks out, like everybody gets saved. I mean, like whole cities get saved. Like, and he walks in this mill shop of 300 workers, and like none of these guys are saved, you know? And like they all start mocking him and calling him names and whatever, right? And he doesn't say a word, and he just stands there. And they're still mocking and whatever. And then as he doesn't even open his mouth, as he just sits there, the conviction of God begins to just fall in the room. And these men who were mocking him and yelling at him and railing against him, they began to weep under the presence of God. And not only did they weep, but they literally hid underneath their workstations, crying out for God to show them mercy. And the man didn't even open his mouth. Cool story. So that's this guy, right? And so this is kind of the story of like pretty much the day after he got saved and gave his life to Jesus. And why I'm reading you this is that, man, I'm convinced that God gave you your five senses so that you could know that he's good, so that you could experience him. Listen to this story. It says, by evening, we had the books and furniture adjusted, so I made a good fire in an open fireplace, hoping to spend the evening alone. Just that dark, Squire W., which is a person, I'm seeing that everything was adjusted, told me good night and went to his home. I had accompanied him to the door, and as I closed the door and turned around, my heart seemed to be liquid within me. All my feelings seemed to rise and flow out, and the thought of my heart was, I want to pour my whole soul out to God. The rising of my soul was so great that I rushed into the room, back to the back of the front office to pray. There was no fire and no light in this back room. Nevertheless, it appeared to me as if it were perfectly light. As I went in and shut the door after me, it seemed as if I met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. It seemed to me that I saw him, and as I would see any other man, he said nothing, but looked at me in such a manner as to break me right down at his feet. It seemed to me a reality that he stood before me, and I fell down at his feet and poured out my soul to him. I wept aloud like a child and made such confessions as I could barely, as I choked up my words. It seemed to me that I bathed his feet with my tears, and yet I had no distinct impression that I touched him. I must have continued in this state for a good while, but my mind was too much absorbed with the interview to remember anything that I said. As soon as my mind became calm enough, I returned to the front office, but found that the fire that had been made of large wood was nearly burned out. Listen to this. But as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without any expectation of it, without ever hearing the thing that mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in like waves of liquid love, for I could not express it any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. I can remember distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings. No words can express the wonderful love that was spread abroad in my heart. I wept aloud with joy and love. I literally bellowed out of the unspeakable overflow of my heart. The waves came over me and over me and over me, one after another, until I remember crying out, I shall die if these waves continue to pass over me. I said, Lord, I cannot bear anymore, yet I had no fear of dying. How long I continued in this state with this baptism continuing to roll over me, I do not know. I love it, man. I love it. If you guys could stand up for me. In fact, come down front to the altar. I just want to invite everyone down front to the altar. man, so how, tonight, how do we taste and see? That's like the big question, right? How do I taste and see this man, Jesus, who is not a figment of my imagination, who's not some idea of religion that's made up, man, but listen, he's a real man. He's a real king, and right now he's sitting on a real throne in a real kingdom that one day will break into earth and be established here. And one day he will really reign for 1,000 years on earth. Like, how do I taste and see this man, Jesus? That is the most attractive, most satisfying, most enjoyable person. The Bible says this. God says, draw near to me, James 4:8, and I will draw near to you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So I really don't know where we're going to go in the next 20 minutes. Man, but I just want to take a moment to see what's going to happen in the room tonight, if we're willing to taste, if we're willing to taste, if we're willing to draw near to him and see that he's good. Is that okay? So I'm going to have Kinsey, hey Kinsey, go into some worship. Man, and I just really encourage you to take a moment tonight and to draw near, and to draw near, and to draw near. Like, listen, whether tonight that looks like you going absolutely bananas in worship, or whether tonight that looks like you sitting with your eyes closed, like in faith, believing that, like whatever, like I have no expectations of you in this moment, okay? Like, there's zero expectations of what I expect of you in this moment, except for one thing tonight, is to draw near to him. Because when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Okay, and at some point we're probably going to pray for some people, all right? So come on, every eye closed and every hand up in the room right now. Come on, I just want to start with a simple prayer. I want you to say, Jesus. Come on, say, Jesus. Come on, say, Jesus. Tonight, I want to taste and see that you are good.